The following is a sermon by Pastor Todd Dykstra, teaching pastor of Maranatha Bible Church of Comstock Park, Michigan. For more information, go to mbcmi.org.
As you know, our theme for day camp this year was Beyond the Gold. It's the Olympic theme. It's the theme of athletes and competition, and we're looking ahead a month from now to the London Olympics, the London Summer Olympics. And so that was the theme that was chosen for this year's day camp, and all of our activities, all of our events kind of surrounded this theme of the Olympics and competition and athletics, and it was a great theme. Our Bible studies brought in some of the qualities that are necessary to be a solid Olympian, and you need to have teamwork, and you need to have character, and you need to have perseverance, and you need to have sacrifice, and these are all the things that are necessary to be a strong athlete. No one just stumbles into the Olympics. You work hard, you're diligent, you give yourself in self-control and self-discipline, and it requires hard work and dedication and all kinds of effort and training and drills just in order to compete in the Olympics. I'm no Olympian, but I've been training for the last few months for Ironman Lake Placid, and 4 weeks from today, our family will be in upstate New York, and I'll be competing in the Ironman Lake Placid. Very excited, very nervous. It is a long day. I'm hoping for 13 to 14 hours, and it's a 2.4-mile swim, 112-mile bike, followed by a full marathon. And so this is what we're looking forward to doing. This is how we start our vacation. And so I know a little bit about, not like the athletics of the Olympics, but I know a little bit about what it takes to compete at that level. These are some of the qualities necessary to be an athlete, an Olympian. And yet some of those qualities, many of those qualities, spill over into our Christian life as well. The need for character is as important off the field as on. And the need for hard work and self-control and discipline is as important off the field as on the field. And so the same qualities that are necessary to succeed in the Olympics are also necessary for us in the Christian life. It's no wonder that this theme of athletics and competition pervades the New Testament. And let me just give you a couple of illustrations of how the scripture writers brought in this athletic imagery into the New Testament. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, you know it well. The writer of Hebrews says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross." You can pick up the athletic imagery there. There's a race, and he urges us to run it with endurance and to keep our eyes fixed on the goal, which is Christ himself. It's not just heaven. It's not just freedom from sin. It's not just to be in a nice place. It's Christ. He's our goal. In 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8, the Apostle Paul says, "Have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the sake of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things." That word discipline is the word gymnazo, where we get our word gymnasium. So he says, in the same way you put forth effort in the gymnasium, you need to put forth that same effort in your spiritual lives as well. Now, some of you here this morning, this is your life verse. Bodily discipline is only of little profit, right? And you love that verse because it's a justification for not exercising, right? But he says, in the same way you encourage and exhort your body to discipline itself for exercise, you need to apply that same level of discipline to your Christian life for the sake of godliness. Well, our theme verse for day camp this year was 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 to 27. I'd like you to take your Bibles and I'd like you to open to that verse, because those are the verses that we repeated to our campers all week, the last 2 weeks. This is a verse that was drilled into their heads. This is a verse that was covered in Bible study. This is a verse that we kept coming back to at day camp because it illustrates for us the importance of athletic qualities in the Christian life. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. I want to read the verses and we'll look at them briefly this morning. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, he says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly, after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified." Here, Paul uses the imagery of an athletic event and an athlete participating in the games to communicate the zeal, the passion, the diligence, the hard work that is necessary for us in Christian life and Christian ministry. And for a few moments this morning, I just want to examine these verses with you. And maybe you're here this morning and you've gotten a little flabby spiritually. Maybe you've gotten a little lax in your spiritual life. Maybe you've kind of taking a vacation, and you need some motivation, some impetus to remind yourself of what is required. Maybe you've grown weary or complacent. Maybe you've not been sweating spiritually lately. Well, this is a text that will remind us of what it's like and how we should engage in this endeavor. You remember that 1 Corinthians was written to the Corinthians, and they were a group of people who were contaminated and confused. You want a quick summary of the book? That's what this is about. They were contaminated by the world, and they were confused about some significant doctrines. And so they were contaminated by the world because they had been saved out of it. They were living in Corinth, one of the most pagan cities in the world at that time. In fact, there was a term that was used to describe them. It meant to Corinthianize, which really meant to act like a Corinthian, to act completely immoral, and that's the lifestyle that many of them were saved out of. So they're contaminated by this world still, and they're confused. They're confused about a number of major doctrines. And so Paul writes this letter, 1 Corinthians, to clear up their confusion and to urge them to flee from this contamination that they find themselves in. In 1 Corinthians 8, chapters 8 through 10, Paul is dealing with the issue of Christian liberties. Can you eat meat sacrificed to idols? That's the question that he's been asked. And so he's dealing with that issue, which is for us an understanding of Christian liberties or gray areas. And his point here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is, I will give up any gray area, any Christian liberty, if it means that I can win some people to Christ. I'm not going to eat meat sacrificed to idols. If it caused someone to stumble, I'll give that freedom up so that I can win people to Christ. And that's the emphasis. Now, look back in verses 19 to 23. Many people take these verses where it says, I become all things to all men, as proof that you can engage in those Christian liberties to win people to Christ. That's not his point here. His point is, I'm going to give those things up if it means I can win some to Christ. And you can see that all through here. Look at verse 19. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all men, that I might win some. He wants to win people to Christ. That's his passion. The gospel is his passion. He wants to win people to Christ. Verse 20, and to the Jews I became a Jew, that I might win Jews. And to those under the law, as under the law, though not myself being under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. You see what he's saying? I want to win people to Christ. I want to win Jews to myself, and I'm going to do nothing to cause these Jews to stumble. Verse 21, same thing with the Gentiles. To those who are without law, as well, without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those who are without the law. He says, I want to win Gentiles to Christ. And so I'm not going to engage in Christian liberties if it would cause them to stumble. Verse 22, to the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. You see his passion? He wants people to come to Christ, and he doesn't want to be a stumbling block and get in the way of those who may come to Christ. Verse 23, he says, I do all things for the sake of the gospel, that I may become a fellow partaker of it. Paul wants to win people to Christ. The gospel's at stake. Eternity's at stake. And so he says, I'm not going to engage in my Christian liberties if it would cause someone to keep them from coming to Christ. That's the context. Now, verses 24 to 27, he tells us the athletic character qualities that need to possess us as we approach with that same mentality. So just very briefly this morning, I want to give you four characteristics of running to win. Four characteristics of running to win, how we can employ the same athletic imagery in our pursuit of Christ and our desire to win others to Christ as well. So first, here's number one, is an intense endeavor. If we're going to be those who run to win in the Christian life, we must have an intense endeavor. And you can see it in verse 24. He says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win." He says, "Do you not know?" Of course they know. And the reason they know this to be true, the reason they know that when there's a race, only one receives the prize, is because they were familiar with the games. Not the Olympic Games, but the Isthmian Games. The Olympics were held in Greece every 4 years. On the year before the Olympics and the year after the Olympics, in Corinth, there was another set of games called the Isthmian Games. And they were very much like the Olympics. They were held there in honor of Poseidon, the Greek god of the earthquakes and water, and the god of the sea. And they had a lot of the same events as the Olympics. They had running races, and they had chariot races, and they had spear throwing, and wrestling matches, and boxing matches. And this one I found very interesting, running in armor races. How would you like that? What an event. So they were very familiar with these games, these athletic events. And so he says, "Do you not know?" Well, of course they know. They're right there in Corinth. They see these games hosted every other year in their home city, and they would have known exactly what Paul is talking about here. And what Paul does is he takes these games, these Isthmian games, and he says, "Corinthians, when you see those games, I want you to think about them as an illustration of what your life needs to be like. And so when you see someone running, I want you to think of them running at a different level. When you see them boxing, I want you to see another kind of boxing. When you see them training and denying themselves, I want you to see another kind of training and self-denial." He's taking that event and turning it into a spiritual illustration. So he says in verse 24, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize?" This is very obvious. When you have a race, everyone competes, everyone runs, well, there's only one winner. There's only one prize. There's only one victor. There can only be one winner. In the triathlons I compete in, there's only one winner, and I'm never it. These guys are a lot faster. There's only one winner. You can only have one winner of these races. And then he says to the Corinthians, "Now I want you to run in such a way that you win." See what he's saying? Be like that runner who wins the race. Now he's not saying there can only be one winner in the Christian life, but he is saying you need to run. You need to compete. You need to engage in the Christian life and in Christian ministry with the mentality of the runner who wins the race. Like the runner, the Christian must give his best and run with zeal to win others to Christ. This race that we're involved in, this Christian life that we're involved in, takes determination. It takes self-control. It takes self-discipline. It takes dedication. It takes resolution. It takes calling upon every ounce of energy and putting forth all of our strength to be the kind of men and women that God's called us to be so that we can win other people to Christ. We're to undertake an intense endeavor. We're to be like that runner who runs to win. Paul was willing to do that. He was willing to forsake any Christian liberty that might cause someone else to stumble if it meant them coming to Christ. He was zealous. He was earnest. He was not half-hearted. He was not lazy. He was diligent. And he was running his life to win through intense endeavor. That's the call for us as well.
You've been listening to a sermon by Pastor Todd Dykstra, teaching pastor of Maranatha Bible Church in Comstock Park, Michigan, where we exist to display God's glory, declare God's truth, delight in God's Son, and disciple God's people. No part of this digital file may be reproduced or distributed without prior written consent. For permission, go to mbcmi.org.